All right, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is an excerpt from The Recognitions of Clement, Book 9. And this is Clement discoursing with his father on the difference between whether or not fate, or what they call Genesis, has rule over every man, or whether or not there's anything in ourselves that we have control over. But it says, this starting at chapter 3, it says, when the old man had said this, I, Clement, began to speak as follows. Yahuwah, by his Son, created the whole world as a double house, separated by the interposition of this firmament, which is called Shamayim, or heavens, and appointed messengers to dwell in the higher, and a multitude of men to be born in this visible world, from amongst whom he might choose friends for his Son, with whom he might rejoice, and who might be prepared for him as a beloved bride for a bridegroom. But even till the time of the marriage, which is the revelation of the world to come, he has appointed a certain power to choose out and watch over the good ones of those who are born in this world, and to preserve them for his Son, who is without sin, set apart in a certain place of the world, in which there are already some who are there being prepared, as I said, as a bride adorned for the coming of the bridegroom. This is saying that our Mashiach, even from the beginning where he dwelt with Adam in the garden, he still inhabits the garden with those that are there, like Hanok, Baruch, Ezra, and Eliyahu. Here we go. It says, for the prince of this world and of the present age is like an adulterer who corrupts and violates the minds of men, and seducing them from the love of the true bridegroom, allures them to strange lovers. But someone will say, why then was it necessary that the prince should be made, who was to turn away the minds of men from the prince of truth? Because Yahuwah, who, as I have said, desired to prepare friends for his Son, did not desire to create them so that they could not possibly be anything else, but such as should desire of their own choice and will to be good, because neither is that praiseworthy that is not desirable, nor is that judged to be good that is not sought for with purpose. For there is no credit in being that from which the necessity of your nature does not admit of your changing. Therefore, the providence of Elohim has willed that a multitude of men should be born in this world, that those who should choose a good life might be selected from many. And because he foresaw that the present world could not consist except by variety and inequality, he gave to each mind freedom of motions, according to the diversity of present things, and appointed this prince, through the prince's own suggestion, to or of those things that run contrary, that the choice of better things might depend on the exercise of virtue. But to make our meaning plainer, we will explain it by particulars. Was it proper, for example, that all men in this world should be kings, or princes, or masters, or teachers, or lawyers, or geometers, or goldsmiths, or bakers, or smiths, or grammarians, those that are involved in grammar, or rich men, or farmers, or perfumers, or fishermen, or poor men? It is certain that all could not be these. Yet, the life of men requires all these professions and many more. And they cannot do without this variety of occupations. Therefore, inequality is necessary in this world, for there cannot be a king unless he has subjects over whom he may rule and reign, nor can there be a master unless he has one over whom he may bear sway, and in like manner of the rest. Therefore, the Creator, knowing that no one would come to the contest of his own accord, while labor is shunned, that is, to the practice of those professions that we have mentioned, by means of which either the justice or the mercy of everyone can be shown, made men a body susceptible to hunger and thirst and cold, in order that men, being compelled for the sake of supporting their bodies, might come down to all the professions that we have mentioned, by the necessity of livelihood. For we are taught to cultivate every one of these arts for the sake of food, drink, and clothing, and in this the purpose of each one's mind is shown, whether he will supply the demands of hunger and cold by means of thefts and murders and perjuries and other crimes of that sort, or whether keeping justice or right ruling and mercy and continuance, he will fulfill the service of eminent necessity by the practice of a profession and the labor of his hands. For if he supplies his bodily wants with right ruling and obedience and mercy, he comes forth as a victor in the contest set before him, and is chosen as a friend of the Son of Yahuwah. But if he serves carnal lusts by frauds, inequities, and crimes, he becomes a friend of the prince of this world and of all demons, by whom he has also taught this, to ascribe to the courses of the stars the errors of his own evil doings, although he chooses them on purpose and willingly. For arts are learned and practiced, as we have said, under the compulsion of the desire of food and drink, which desire, when the knowledge of the truth comes to any one, becomes weaker, and frugality takes its place. For what expense has those who use water and bread, and only expect it from Yahuwah? There is, therefore, as we have said, a certain necessary inequality in the dispensation of the world, since indeed all men cannot know all things and accomplish all works. Yet all need the use and service of almost all. And on this account it is necessary that one work and another pay him for his work, that one be servant and another be master, that one be subject and another sovereign. But this inequality, which is necessary provision for the life of men, Yahuwah has turned into an occasion for right ruling, mercy, and compassion, that while these things are transacted between man and man, every one may have an opportunity of acting righteously with him to whom he has to pay wages for his work, and of acting mercifully to him who cannot pay his debt through sickness or poverty, and of acting compassionately towards those who, by their creation, seem to be subject to him. Also of maintaining gentleness towards subjects and of doing all things according to Yahuwah's Torah. For he has given a Torah, thereby aiding the minds of men, that they may the more easily perceive how they ought to act with respect to everything, in what way they may escape evil, and in what way tend to the future Birak oath or blessings, and how being regenerate in water, they may by good works extinguish the fire of their old birth. For our first birth descends through the fire of lust, and therefore, by Elohim's appointment, this second birth is introduced by water, which may extinguish the nature of fire, and that the spirit enlightened by Yahuwah's set apart Ruach may cast away the fear of the first birth, provided, however, it so live for the time to come that it do not at all seek after any of the pleasures of this world, but be as it were a pilgrim and a stranger and a citizen of another city. But if you will say that in those things indeed in which the necessity of creation demands the service of arts and works, anyone may have it in his power to maintain right ruling and to put what restraint he pleases either upon his desires or his actions, what will we say of the sicknesses and infirmities that befall men, and of some being harassed by demons and fevers and cold fits, and some being attacked with madness or losing their reason. And all those things that overthrow the race of man with innumerable curses. To this we say that if anyone considers the reason for the whole mystery, he will pronounce these things to be more righteous than those that have already, or that we have already explained. For Elohim has given a nature to men by which they may be taught concerning what is good and to resist evil. That is, they may learn arts and to resist vain pleasures, and to set forth the Torah of Elohim before them in all things. And for this end he hath permitted certain contrary powers to wander up and down in the world, to strive against us, for the reasons that have been stated before, that by striving with them the palm of victory and the merits of rewards may occur to the righteous. There's just a little bit more to get to the point, if I have time and you'll permit me. But it says, from this, therefore, sometimes the results of any person's acting incontinently and being willing not so much to resist as to yield, to give harbor to these impulses in themselves by their noxious breath and an intemperate, ill-conditioned, and diseased progeny is begotten. For while lust is supposedly grafted or gratified, but no care is taken to the copulation, undoubtedly a weak generation is affected with the defects and frailties of those demons who instigate these evil deeds. And therefore parents are responsible for their children's defects of this sort, because they have not observed the Torah of intercourse. Though there are also more secret causes by which the inner beings are made subject to these evils, which it is not our present purpose to state. Yet it behooves everyone to acknowledge the way of Yahuwah, that he may learn from it the observance of generation and avoid causes of impurity, that which is begotten may be pure. For it is not right that on the one hand, in the planting of shrubs and the sowing of crops, a suitable season is sought for, and the land is cleaned and all things are suitably prepared, lest the seed that is sown be injured and perish. That on the other hand, in the case of man only, who is over all these things, there should be no attention or caution in sowing his seed. But what, it is said, of the fact that some who are in their childhood are free from any bodily defect, yet in process of time fall into those evils, so that some are even violently hurried on to death. Concerning these also, the account is at hand, and is almost the same. For those powers that we have said to be contrary to man's race are in some way invited into the heart of every one by many and diverse lusts, and find a way of entrance. And they have in them such influence and power as can only encourage and incite, but cannot compel or accomplish. If, therefore, anyone consents to them, so as to do those things that he immorally desires, his consent and deed will find the reward of destruction and of the worst kind of death. But if, thinking of the future judgment, he is checked by fear, and reclaim himself so that he does not accomplish in action what he has conceived in his evil thought, he will not only escape present destruction, but also future punishments. For every cause of sin seems to be like flax smeared over with pitch, which immediately breaks into flame as soon as it receives the heat of the fire. And the kindling of this fire is comprehended to be the work of demons. If, therefore, anyone be found smeared with the sins and lusts as with pitch, the fire easily gets mastery of him. But if the flax be not steeped in the pitch of sin, but in the water of purification and regeneration, the fire of demons will not be able to be kindled in it. But someone will say, "And what will we do now, who have already been smeared with sins as with pitch?" I answer, "Only hasten to be washed, that the fuel of the fire may be cleansed out of you by the invocation of Yahuwah, Yahushua, and that for the future you may bridle your lust by fear of the judgment to come, and by his constant power beat back the hostile powers whenever they tempt you." Like using the shield of belief to block all the fiery darts of the evil one, right? "But you say, if anyone fall into love, how will he be able to contain himself, though he see before his eyes even that river of fire that they call the Tiphlegerthon? This is the excuse of those who will not be converted to repentance. But now I would not have you talk of that lake of fire, or that river of fire. Place before you man's punishments and see what influence fear has. When anyone is brought to punishment for a crime of love and is bound to the stake to be burned, can he at any time conceive any desire of the woman whom he loved or place her image before his eyes? By no means, you will say. You see then that present fear cuts off unrighteous desires. But if those who have believed in Elohim and who confess the judgment to come and the penalty of ageless fire, if they do not refrain from sin, it is certain that they do not believe with full belief. For if belief is certain, fear also becomes certain. But if there be any defect in belief, fear also is weakened, and then the contrary powers find opportunity."
Hold on, brethren.
Sorry about that. It was almost over. I'm going to back up just a little bit so we don't have it cut off.
Okay.
It says, "But if those who believe in Elohim and who confess the judgment to come and the penalty of ageless fire, if they do not refrain from sin, it is certain they do not believe with full belief. For if belief is certain, fear also becomes certain. But if there be any defect in belief, fear also is weakened, and then the contrary powers find opportunity of entering. And when they have consented to their persuasions, they necessarily become subject also to their power, and by their instigation are driven to the precipices of sin." Thank you all for allowing me to share. It goes on, but his main focus there is refuting what he calls Genesis, or what we're more familiar with is called astrology. So it's also very profitable to read, but not really the topic at hand. However, Abba willing, you can see, when we do the things that are not in belief or according to the will of our Maker, that's what gives jurisdiction to demons over us. So thank you for your time. That was also the cause, and the cure was there by coming to him in repentance. You all have a wonderful Shabbat. Thank you.